Sat on the couch this morning, going through the sermon. All the thoughts come into my head that aren't there. And so let's just open in prayer. Father, I thank you for the ability to be able to be here in this place again. I thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, I know that we can see how it changes lives and people come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, and it relieves a burden in our lives and they go on to live a life for you. So Lord, help us to be so inclined to draw closer to you always through your Son and to see what's important in life and set our sights on that. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, Dan talked to you about the song Turn, Turn, Turn. And how about what that was written in, I believe, 1965. And there's a lot of stuff going on in this country and around the world. And they're saying to turn to peace instead of war, love instead of hate. All the different things that you can think the opposite of, turn from one to the other. And what was those three-word phrase at the end of that one song? At the one verse about it not being too late? Is that what it was? I swear it's not too late. I swear it's not too late. That was 2 weeks ago. And then last week, Brian talked to you about the question of why. Why? Why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? And we all know good people that have been affected by bad things. And you ask, why, God? They're such a faithful person. But yet we can think of times where the Bible says that God will not allow you to be tempted by more than what you can handle. But he'll give you a way out. He'll give you a way to stay close to him, but you got to be looking for it. You got to be strong. And in Dan's sermon, he used David as an example. Because David, we know from the scripture, Acts chapter 13, verse 22, tells us that God said that David was a man after his own heart. But yet, we can look at David and go, wow, he really messed up. He really screwed up. But yet, God still said he was a man after his own heart. So we can look at all the things around the world in our life today and ask why. And what it really boils down to, and I did not realize until I listened to Brian's sermon that some of the things I'd already prepared back when I was at camp at Fuel were verses he used out of the book of Genesis last week. So I wasn't going to change it after that. So you might hear a few verses you might have heard last week. But God made Adam and Eve. But before he made Adam and Eve, he created all the things of the world in the world. And he said after each and every one of them that it was good. But then he finally created Adam and Eve and he said it was very good. And God, I believe that we can read into some things in Scripture. And I wanted to, if you will, turn with you, if you will, to Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. Now, just before this, Adam and Eve had been talking with the serpent. The serpent said, oh, you're not going to surely die if you eat of that tree, the garden of good, the knowledge of good and evil. For God knows that in the day you do so, you'll be just like him. And of course, we know the story. She ate, and he ate. And then they heard, this is the verse I want us to pay attention to. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Here, see, I don't think this was a one-time occurrence. God didn't just make Adam and Eve and then go sit on his throne. I think that God had probably frequently visited the garden. It wasn't just a one-time event. How would they know? The scripture says this, when they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden, how did they know it was the Lord God walking in the garden? How come it couldn't have been a squirrel or a deer or something of the sort? But they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden. Why did they know that's what it was? Because they heard it before. This time was different. This time, they had disobeyed God, and they knew that they were naked. See, but I believe God spent time in the garden because he made two people. And he said, it says in the scripture, when he made them, it was very good. He wanted to be with them. He wanted a relationship with them. But man destroyed that. Now I want us to just briefly jump to the very end of the Bible. Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, and a great voice of heaven saying, now listen to this, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away every tear from their eye, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be there any more pain, for the former things are passed away. God has always desired to be with man, and he will again someday. We can see it in Scripture. But we're in this in-between time where bad things happen to good people. But at the same time, in this between time, it is a time of hope. Yes, we can go around looking at the world like the glass half full, glass empty, or we can look at the world like a glass half full. There is hope in Jesus, but we have to come to that place where when things happen to us or we fall, that we get back up and we see the hope that we can have. Not just for us, but for those around us. My dad used to say from the pulpit, it takes a strong, any dead fish can float downstream, but it takes a strong fish to swim up the current. And if I had to challenge anybody this morning, I would challenge adults and young people, especially young people. This little piece of garbage right here can cause so much trouble. There's so much that goes on it, whether it be in social media, whether it be things that you can subject yourself to that's so easy to do. The bullying that might be going on in social media. There are some videos out there that have been put out of portraying a girl or a boy who's posted something on social media, and they're looking for somebody to like it, somebody to comment, somebody to accept them. We can get so distracted by some of those little things in the world that take away from the faith and the pursuing of looking for people that don't know Jesus, that don't have any hope. We can be so distracted. And so it takes a strong person in school today, I think, to swim against the current, to go against the grain, to not be like everybody else. And I know that's not popular, you know. Somebody might call you, you know, back in my day, you're called a Jesus freak. In this in-between time, King David became king. He screwed up royally. Dan kind of touched a little bit on that at times in his life. But he wrote this in Psalm chapter 8, verses 4 through 9. What is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him. Which is a reference forward to talking about Jesus. And it goes on to say about him, you made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands, and you put everything under his feet. All flocks and herds and beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the sea, O Lord our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. What is man that you're mindful of him? Why do you even care about him, God? Why do you care about us? And then he goes on, because we know from Scripture, from the book Acts chapter 3, that David was a prophet. He's speaking forward about the time of the Messiah to come. He knows, because he's heard from Samuel, that somebody from David's descendant was going to sit on the throne of David forever and ever. But the answer to the question is, what is man that you're mindful of him? He's the person, these are the people that God made and said, this is very good. He still loves them. He still desires to be with them, but he can't because of sin. Some of the old, if you say it's very good, you might have said certain long time ago, it's awesome. It was rad. It was cool. And today, what is the term today? What is the term? Amy knows. Slay. Is that right? You still use that term, guys? Anyway. Maybe I'm wrong, but according to my stepdaughter, slay is the term. In preparation for the sermon, I come across this little thing. It says, God is crazy about you. If God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If God had a wallet, your photo would be in it. He sends you flowers every spring, a sunrise every morning. Whenever you want to talk, he listens. He could have chosen to live anywhere in the universe, but he chose to live in your heart. Face it, God is crazy about you. But sometimes we're not all that attractive. We sin, we fall short. You may subconsciously even think that if my kids or my spouse or my friends knew some of the things that I've done, they wouldn't want anything to do with me. So why would God want anything to do with me? Because he loves us. He desires to be with us. He wants a relationship with us. He will have it again. We know. We can go to the end of the Bible and see it. The question is, are we doing the kind of things that other people did that keeps us in that relationship? Psalm 89:15, if you have your Bible, says 89:15. I'll wait for you to get there. Psalm 89:15. It says, blessed are those who walk in the light of your presence, O Lord. We know from Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, it says, Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time. He walked with God. So he had a relationship with him. People laughed at him when he built an ark because God said he was tired of all this stuff going on in the world. Man does not deserve what I've given them. I'm going to wipe him off the face of the earth. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And he built an ark, and he was laughed at and ridiculed until the flood came. We can see in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, that says, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. The flood had happened. The flood was over. The earth was being repopulated by 8 people. And we see that Abraham believed in God. Scripture says it was reckoned unto him as righteousness. But God says to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. Have a relationship with me. And he did. If we go backwards in time, before the flood, we see that Enoch walked with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. See, but what stops us from having that relationship with God is sin gets in the way. And if I stand up here, I'm here to tell you that sin doesn't get in the way just for you. Sin gets in the way for everybody. This place, this pulpit, or whatever, doesn't need to be Dan and myself and Brian. I appreciated Elijah's message a few weeks ago. Anybody that has a story needs to eventually tell that story and get used to telling that story, because there's people in the world that you run across that aren't here in this building, but they can hear your story out there. So get used to telling it. Be willing to tell it up here if possible, because the more you tell it and the more that you tell people about your hope in Jesus, the more apt you are to probably stay on that path, because you know the importance of the story, especially if you see it change somebody else's life. So after Adam and Eve sinned, they covered their nakedness, right? They covered their nakedness with fig leaves. Today, we cover our sin, right? We try to cover our sin. We might do that with good works. People see the good things we do, but in our own mind, we know we do these other things that God wouldn't be so pleased with. But people see the good works. They see the things you do. You show up at church every Sunday. You worship God. I'm not trying to say that those things aren't important, because they are. But sometimes we do things to try to cover our sin. So Adam and Eve covered their nakedness with fig leaves. There's something that I think that we can look forward to, look at. We skip forward to Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. Genesis 3, 21. After God had found them, after God had scolded them, after God had told Satan he's going to crawl on his belly all the days of his life, he finally does this. The Lord God made garments of skin, animal skins, for Adam and his wife, and clothed them. He covered them. But when God made these skins out of an animal, something had to happen. Some poor innocent animal had to die. And that is, in my opinion, that's a picture of the things that are going to be coming down the road. God alluded to it in Genesis 3:15 when he told Satan, you're going to crawl on your belly. You're going to strike the seed of man on the heel, but he's going to crush your head. He gave an indication of the seed of man, the seed that was going to come someday, the Messiah that was going to come. That was the first hinting of it. You're going to strike him on the heel, but he's going to crush your head, and Satan will be destroyed someday by Jesus. But it was an indication that putting the animal skins and covering their nakedness was an indication that there was a sacrifice that was made. And down the road, we can easily read in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his son. Romans 4:7 tells us, blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Covered by the blood of the Lamb. Covered by one sacrifice. You know the system. We used to have to, or the people of Israel used to have to take sacrifices to the temple to be forgiven of their sins. They would go to the priest, and he would go into the Holy of Holies, and he would present the sacrifices. There's a song I used to sing now and then called The Bells Are Ringing, He's Alive, how they'd tie a rope to the ankle of the high priest in case he went in there and died because he wasn't worthy to be in the Holy of Holies. And they had a way of pulling him out with that rope. They would tie a bell to him, and they could hear the bell ringing when he was in there moving about. But if they couldn't hear the bell ringing anymore, he wasn't moving anymore. And the song went on to say, the bells are ringing, he's alive. The priest is still alive in there. He did our sacrifice. He came back out again, but if the bell stopped ringing, maybe he wasn't even worthy to be in the Holy of Holies, and he died because God was upset with him. He had to drag him out with the rope. But when Jesus died on a cross, the bells are permanently ringing. He died on a cross. We're risen again. The bells are ringing. He's alive. We live in that in-between time, where there's hope. There's hope in Jesus, and we can share that hope with people. We can have a relationship with God, and the more relationship we have with God, and the closer we get to him, the more apt we are to stay there because we put him first on a daily basis. There's a video, there's a picture. This is Abraham Lincoln. And the girl, whose name is Grace Bedell. Grace Bedell wrote the president, and she said, "Dear sir, my father has just got home from the fair and brought home your picture and Mr. Hamlin's. I am a little girl, only 11 years old, but want you to be president of the United States. Very much so." It's kind of sad in here. I'm going to, as you read this. "I hope you won't think me very bold to write such a great man as you are. Have you any little girls about as large as I am? If so, give them my love and tell them to write me to me. If you cannot answer this letter, I have yet got four brothers, and part of them will vote for you. Anyway, if you left your whiskers grow, I will try and get the rest of them to vote for you. You would look a great deal better, for your face is so thin. All the ladies like whiskers, and they would tease their husbands to vote for you, and then you would be president. My father is going to vote for you, and if I was a man, I would vote for you." But I will try to get every vote for you that I can. Think that rail fence around your picture makes it look very pretty. I have a lot of little baby sisters. She's 9 weeks old and is just as cunning as can be. When you direct your letter direct to Grace Bedell, Westfield, Chautauqua County, New York, I must not write anymore. Answer this letter right off. Goodbye, Grace Bedell. Dear little miss, your agreeable letter of the 15th is received. I regret the necessity of saying that I have no daughters. I have three sons, one 17, one 9, and one 7. They, with their mother, constitute my whole family. As to the whiskers, having never worn any, do you not think people would call it a silly affection if I were to begin? Sorry, can't see through my tears. Everything's blurry. If I were to begin it now, it says here, the Honorable G.W. Patterson of Westfield was one of those who accompanied Lincoln from Springfield to Washington after his election. On his way, the president-elect asked him if he knew family bearing the name Bedell. Mr. Patterson, replying in the affirmation, Mr. Lincoln mentioned that he had received a letter from a little girl advising me to wear whiskers, as she thought it would improve my looks. And you see, I have followed her suggestion. Hold on a minute. When the train reached the Westfield, Mr. Lincoln made a short speech from the platform of the car and concluded by saying that a little correspondent at that place named Grace Bedell, and if she was present, he would like to see her. The lady says, I was present, but the crowd was too great and I had neither seen nor heard the speaker, but a friend helped me forward, and Mr. Lincoln stepped down to the platform where I stood, shook hands, and kissed me, saying, as he touched his beard, you see, I let these whiskers grow for you. Grace shook my hands again cordially and re-entered the cars, and that was the last I ever seen of him. She wrote to him, and he cared enough about her writing to him that he made it a point to come see her. How often do we communicate with God to the point that he wants to be with us because we show him how much we care about him? We don't have to tell him to grow some whiskers because make him look better because his face is too thin. But when we get in our word, when we do things in our lives that lift up God, lift up his son because of what he did on the cross for us, that's like writing a letter to God saying, I really care about you. And someday when Jesus does return, when he establishes a kingdom, when the perfect age comes, when the new Jerusalem comes out of heaven like a bride adorned for a husband, God himself will be here. And he will dwell with us and wipe away every tear from our eye. The only question that we have to ask ourselves every day is, are our sins covered? Are we doing what's important to be ready? We're going to close this morning with a song from song number 495, The King is Coming.